So in this verse, Lord Sri Krishna is telling Arjuna that the one who is not motivated by false ego and whose intelligence is not entangled, although he kills man in this world, does not kill. So we see the Lord wants Arjuna to act according to his will. And we see in this world there are two categories of people. One is devotees, another non-devotees. So how does devotee behave? First is, he has a firm faith that Krishna is the controller. And then he acts in a detached mode. He is not attached to his work because he is simply interested to fulfill the desire of the Lord. And whatever comes, he accepts as his purification. Whereas, we find the non-devotee, how he acts. He has a firm faith that he himself is the doer. Then, he always like to consider himself as the independent controller. And because he himself thinks that he is the controller of all his activities, so it's natural that he becomes attached and always likes to do sense gratification. So in this way we can see clearly how these two people behave. And first we'll see how the non-devotees, they think, how they act. And then we shall discuss about how the devotees behave. So when person thinks himself as a doer, he feels that he is the independent controller, then naturally his attitude is, he has a firm faith that he has born just to rule this world. And then he feels that he is the great attraction for this universe. And always he will be like a self-centered. And his talks, you will always find that how he always feels that others are fools and useless. And they are the superior in all respects. Even in his ordinary talks also, this behavior will be very much apparent. Because somehow or other, they lose the contact of the reality. What's their actual position is. Now we can take the example of in Ramayana, that when Suparnaka feels attractions towards Lord Ram, she was always thinking that she is best suitable for him. Though we see how the Lord Ram that is described, that that he is such a charming face, that he had very slender waist, he had lotus eyes, same time he had a beautiful locks of hair, and his voice was also sweet. And as the Lord is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, naturally he attracts everyone. Whereas the appearance of Suparnaka was that of repelling. It said that her face was very ugly. And she had a very large belly. Her eyes were deformed. The hairs were like a coppery. And naturally she didn't have any sweet voice. So like that, her appearance was totally repelling for anyone who would see her. But still, she was thinking that she is most suitable for Lord Ram. And when she approaches the Lord Ram inquires, now what is your identity? Who are you? So that time then she starts narrating her whole dynasty, that Nafal, she describes that she is sister of Lord Ram, Lord Ravana. And then she says that how Ravana has performed so many acts, he defeated this demon, that demon. Then she described about the power of Kumbhakarna, that he is such a powerful. Then she talks about Vibhishan, but she says that he doesn't have any qualities of demon. And the next sentence which says was very important. She says that in progress I surpass all of them. So this is how the person with false pride will always think himself as superior. She didn't perform any tasks which Ravana or Kumbhakarna had done. But while introducing, it's naturally she spoke, he is like this, he is like this, but I am superior to even both of them. So this is how usually, even if a person is average ability or less ability, but Phil, because of the false pride, he will be always thinking himself as a great. But inside it's like just a hollow thing, but still he will be thinking himself as a great. As we see in this same Ramayana, when Suparnaka gets her nose cut and she first approaches her brother Khara, and naturally he becomes very angry to see that his sister is insulted in this way. So he talks about revenge, and his false pride, he starts saying that within no time I will destroy these two brothers. And in first he senses some demons, all of them they killed. Then ultimately he understands that he himself has to go. His servants are useless, and all of them got destroyed in no time. So as he starts leaving for the battle, he sees so many bad omens. And he understands that there is a doubt about his victory, because so many bad omens one by one starts coming. But then again his false pride comes up. Instead of thinking there is an indication from the Supreme Lord that he should not endure such kind of things, how he thinks because of his false pride, he starts boasting about his abilities. He starts saying, I got so much power, I can shoot stars in the sky. And then he says, why should I even fear about the call, about the death? I don't care, Indra. And so far, till this death, I am unconquerable in the battle. So what even Kal can do to me? So in this false pride, he just goes straight to fight with Lord Ram, and we see how he gets completely destroys. So this is how the person, when he has a false pride, gets away from the reality, because he's simply thinking himself as a great person. And what happens when there is a false pride in the heart? Whenever we face with any failure in the life, then we just know how to deal with it. Because the person who is having false pride is always accustomed to thinking himself as a great. So when the failure comes in the life, either he will completely collapse or he will simply think of taking the revenge. And that's how it happens in case of Suparnaka. When she says that Khara can't help, then just to take the revenge, she goes and approaches her brother Ravana. And somehow there she knows that she has to instigate Ravana. But how she begins, she describes the beauty of Mother Sita. And she says, actually she deserves to be your wife, and I wanted to bring her for you. And in that endeavor, Lord Ram insulted me like this. So even though it was totally false statement, but she knew if I can arouse the lust in the heart of Ravana, I will able to get my purpose fulfilled. So this is how she instigated Ravana. And this is how any person who has envy in the heart or false pride will behave. We have seen in case of Chaitanya Leela, Srila Haridas Thakur were chanting daily 3 lakhs of holy name, and he was staying so austere. So naturally, all the villagers were attracted to him. They would respect him as a saintly person. And the landlord in that area, Ramchandra Khan, became envious, thinking that I am such a big person in this village. I should be getting the respect. And why all these people are respecting Haridas Thakur? And that's how we could see that somehow or other we wanted to discredit Haridas Thakur. But in due course, because he offends a pure devotee of the Lord, he also gets destroyed. Another thing we can see about a person with a false pride, that they can never take any criticism about themselves. And if somebody criticizes them, they will feel greatly offended or insulted. And because of this attitude, what happens to them is, they can never imbibe good qualities from others. As we should always look for the good qualities in others so that we can imbibe and we can improve. But the false pride in the heart is such an enemy, will always prevent that. Because whenever somebody points out his shortcomings or his defects, when there is a false pride in the heart, instead of humbly accepting it, we feel offended and we take that as an insult. We have seen in this case of Ravana that when the lust arouses in his heart and he wants to take away the Sita, the first he approaches Marichi, and even before there was one demon who escaped from when Lord Ram was fighting with Kara, because he just started running. He understood that there is no way he can save his life from the arrows of Ram. So he just started running towards Sri Lanka, that is Lanka. And because Lord Ram's arrow doesn't shoot a person who is running away from the battlefield, he is able to save his life. And as soon as he comes to Lanka and tells Ravana about the power of Ram, because of the false pride, he just cannot accept that. Even Marichi, he explains that how Lord Ram is so much powerful, is none other than Lord Vishnu. He explains that how he is such a gentle, soft-hearted person, is knowledgeable, he is a pious. All his activities are controlled and he has unfailing prowess. And he said, I personally witnessed that. And then he explained that how he wanted to obstruct the fire sacrifice done by Vishwamitra Muni. And Lord Ram, with one of his arrows, just throws him down in the ocean at 80,000 miles away. And he explains that how now, because of that, I am so fearful of Ram that I always feel that he will come and kill me. So I have given up totally the activities of demon and staying in the forest as ascetic. He said, I am so fearful Even if somebody utters any word which has R syllables, I immediately get afraid. When I see all these trees, I feel as if Lord Ram is present in there. So like that, I am so fearful of Ram that he may come and kill me. And he says that I'm giving you this advice that please give up this idea. You will not be successful in taking Sita away from Ram. If you do that, your whole dynasty will be destroyed. And he says that this my advice is useful, it's appropriate and reasonable. So you please accept this. But Ravana naturally had his false pride in his heart. He was thinking himself as a great. So how he replies, he says that your advice is ill-conceived. And it's like sowing seed on barren field. And you should give advice when it's asked for. I didn't ask for your advice, so don't give any advice to me. I will just do what I want to do. And if you want to assist me, that's okay. Otherwise, I will kill right now. So then Marichit thinks it's better that he gets killed in the hands of Rama than gets killed by Ravana. But the point that we see, that because of the false pride, even if somebody gives us a good advice, we will never be able to take it. Rather, opposite things happen. We feel offended. We feel insulted. And because of this thing, we can never imbibe good qualities about others. And naturally, when we are not in a humble position, not in the attitude of learning, so naturally we don't care about how the things happen. Like a person with a false pride will never think properly about the consequences of what is he doing. And they may say so many things, but we can see because of this false pride, the vision is completely covered. They are not able to see what the actual reality is. When Lord Ram comes to the Shishoar and then they construct a bridge, so that time Ravana realizes that now the fight is unavoidable. Because he was just thinking that how the mere human beings and the monkeys can cross such a big ocean. And when he sees that actually they have done it, that time he realizes that war is unavoidable. Then he feels that let me consult my ministers. So he calls all his ministers and then he starts talking about that how when some calamity comes, it's good that we take the advice from others, and that's been stated in the Shastras and speaks so many things. But what happens is when person is having false pride in the heart, usually he is surrounded by the people who are his yes men. And they knew, all his ministers, that we have to give advice that will please him. So they start telling about Ravana, that how you have performed so many big tasks in the past, and why should we get afraid about these monkeys and human beings. So they were totally unaware about the power of Lord Ram, didn't use their intelligence. And his one of the prominent minister, Prahastha, starts speaking. And then he says that you have defeated Nagas, Kuberas, Yakshas, Danvas. So why should we be afraid of the animals in the forest, the monkeys? Yes, Hanuman came, but what happened is we're not prepared for that. So that's why he could devast so many things and go. But they had seen what is the power of Hanuman, but still, Because of the false pride, they were not ready to acknowledge the fact. And then he starts bragging that how he alone can sweep the entire globe. And he said, where they will hide? These monkeys, they can't hide in the ocean, they can't hide in the heavens, they can't hide in Rasatal. Wherever they go, I'll find them and destroy it. So he says, I alone is capable of destroying entire Lord Ram's army. As he speaks like this, all other ministers also follow the same thing. And they just simply boost the ego of Ravana. So what happens is, when you have these kinds of followers, they will simply block your progress. Except Bibhishan, nobody gave true advice to him. And because of the false pride, we simply block our progress. Lord may give so many advice through saintly persons or circumstances, which we should be reminding ourselves that we are not this doer, but Supreme Lord is the doer. But what happens is, because of the false pride, we are unable to see the reality. And we create a situation for ourselves and destroy our whole life. So that is why now we have to see that when we get undeserving praise in our life, that boosts our self-ego. And when sometimes we do very something and we get a lot of chastisement, that leads to inferior complex in our mind. So we see that this false ego just not only disturbs the demons, but even for pious people also it affects. There's a simple story of one Brahmin who would be performing his Gayatri's right dot on time all throughout his life. Now, 3 times a day, right on time, he would do it. Now, we know how difficult it is to maintain that standard. But he was so expert in his activities and so self-controlled. And he knew that he could do that. One day, it so happens that this fellow was taking rest. And the time was approaching about his Gayatri to be done. And somebody suddenly comes, wakes him up, tells him it's a time you have to perform your Gayatri. So immediately he gets up, just runs to the lake, takes a bath, comes out and immediately performs his Gayatri right dot on time. So after doing that, then he thinks, but let me think, who was the guy who woke me up? I should thank him, otherwise I would have broke my record. So far, I had this record of doing it. Then he says that person, he says, who are you? He says, I'm Kali. He says, if you are Kali, then why you woke me up? He said that if you perform your Gayatri right on time, then my work becomes easy. Because you have a pride in the heart that I am so perfect, that I am able to follow the rules and regulations of the scripture so perfectly. He says, then my work becomes so easy. So, even if we take the pious life, the false ego can manifest in different ways. Or if somebody feels that I have no ego, that's also problematic. That once when yogi was walking on the street and one envious person just follows him, and somehow or other he just starts abusing him with very bad words. And this yogi keeps walking. And this fellow just keep following him, showering all the abusive words. So after hearing this for an hour, this yogi just turns around and says, what you are looking for is not here. I have no ego. So no matter how much abuse you give, it will of no use. So this man says, Because you feel you have no ego, that's your ego. So one has to see now what the devotee has to think. Because devotee always thinks that he is a simply an instrument in the hands of the Supreme Lord. You have seen in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that how Arjuna laments when he comes back from Dwarka. Lord Krishna goes back to his spiritual world and he comes to meet his brother Yudhishthira. So he starts lamenting and saying that how Lord helped us in Swayamvar of Draupadi. There were so many kings, but I was the only person who was successful because I was provided the power by Lord Krishna. Even in Khandava forest, I could defeat Indra. We also could defeat Jarasandha. And when Durvas Muni came in the forest to test us, that time also, by the mercy of Lord Krishna, we were saved. When we were in incognito and I had to fight on behalf of Virat and whole Kaurava army was there and still single-handedly I could stop them. This is all these things happen by grace of the Supreme Lord. Even in Kurukshetra war, there were so many warriors far superior to me, but still I could stand against them. It's all because of the power provided to me by Lord Krishna. So that's how we can see that we always depend on empowerment given by the Supreme Lord. Now sometimes we think that we are doing so many things. Or sometimes we have a habit of introducing people and saying that I made this devotee. But we have to say that how can we even make such a statement? Because for us to do anything, the Lord has to provide us empowerment. Unless Lord provides us empowerment, we won't be able to do anything. Even such a simple act that of seeing, listening, for this we depend on the grace of the Supreme Lord. So we have to understand that now how, whatever we do, there has to be an empowerment by the Supreme Lord. It reminded me, as we are here in Bhaktivedanta Manor, when Srila Prabhupada visited here last time in 1977, there is a very good incident that happened with Bhaktitirtha Swami Maharaj, which we heard many times. Srila Prabhupada was very sick, and his disciples were thinking that how we can give him nice news, so he will feel better. And they all knew that Srila Prabhupada liked book distribution. So they called Bhaktitirtha Maharaj, then his name was Ghanashyam Prabhu, and he was doing a lot of book distributions. So His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj calls him inside, and his book distribution report was being read. And Srila Prabhupada was so happy to hear, and he blessed Ghanashyam Prabhu. So next day, devotees again thought that let us read another report of his activities so that Srila Prabhupada will again come back in a happy mood. But when next day they started reading, Srila Prabhupada somehow or other didn't pay any attention. And when they were reading, they could understand that Prabhupada is not paying attention. It's like when you're talking to somebody and if he's not listening, then you feel a bit embarrassed and usually you stop. So that time Srila Prabhupada said that whatever we do, we must understand that Krishna is the doer. And that time his Holiness Bhaktitirtha Swami Maharaj said that what I received on the next day, The how Srila Prabhupada corrected me on the next day was the best part of my life. First day, yes, I got the praise from him. But the lesson which I needed to learn and which was best for my spiritual life was to be reminded by my spiritual master that no matter how wonderful service we do, we should be always humbly remembering that the Krishna is the doer and is simply giving us an empowerment. As Srila Prabhupada would always say that it's better to be a foolish disciple at the feet of one's spiritual master. Because if we present ourselves as unqualified at the feet of our spiritual master, then we become recipient of his mercy. The false pride won't come that even we do service, we have that firm conviction it's the Krishna who is performing all these things to us. And in the last we'll discuss about how in the Ramayana there is an incidence of Shabari, how she welcomed Lord Ram. So as Lord Ram and Lakshman, they were searching for Mother Sita in the forest, they killed one demon who had actually, in fact, he was a Gandharva. And he told that nearby this, there is an ashram of Matanga Rishi. And his disciple Shabari is staying there and waiting for you. So you please visit their ashram. So Matanga Rishi actually goes back to the spiritual world along with his other disciples. But they knew that Lord Ram will come in this area. So he instructs Shabari that you please stay behind and greet Lord Ram. So by instructions of her spiritual master, every day she would be waiting, thinking that today Lord Ram will come. So like that, for 13 years, she was waiting every day that today Lord Ram will come. And she would collect all the fruits for her, for his welcome. And sometimes she would even test those fruits to see whether they are sweet or not. So she would test one fruit of each variety and keep all the stock of so many varieties for the pleasure of Lord Ram. And then we see when Lord Ram comes, she becomes very happy and offers lovingly all these fruits to him. And Lord Ram also immediately accepts those fruits. So here we see that there is some another incident happened, that when Lord Ram left towards the forest, the first person he met was King Guha. And he also offered him so many kinds of fruits and a lot of things for Lord Ram. But that time Lord Ram didn't accept anything. He just said that you can just give water to my horses, because that time Sumantra was also there. And he didn't accept any of the offerings given by Guha. So here the Acharya says that we can learn that Guha and Shabari, they were from the same tribal community. One person offers the gift, Lord Ram doesn't accept it. Another offers it, even though it was her some remnants, still Lord didn't think about it and accepts. Because Guha was directly approaching the Lord. So when somebody approaches directly to the Supreme Lord, Lord doesn't take that seriously. But if somebody approaches through his devotees, immediately Lord becomes obliged to accept. As Shabari had that same consciousness that I am just acting on behalf of my spiritual master. And she was offering all those things on behalf of them. So Lord Ram immediately accepts that, as she, though she was testing these things, and it is stated in the scriptures that if you offer something contaminated to the Supreme Lord, you will have to suffer in the hell. But she was thinking that if Lord Ram eats bitter fruits, he will have inconvenience. So let me test, and even if I had to go in hell, it doesn't matter, but Lord Ram should not get any inconvenience. So after Lord Ram eats, then she takes Lord Ram in whole of the ashram and starts glorifying the spiritual master. She would say that how these sages every day would take bath in seven seas, and when they became very old, they no longer could visit all these seven seas. Then they created seven ponds and invited all the seas to come. And even though they were so old, their bodies were shivering, still they would perform their penances. Then they said, okay, this is the place where they kept their deities to worship. This is the place where they lit their sacrificial fire. This is the place where they dried their clothes. And the flowers that they offered, they're still fresh even after so many years because power of their penances. So like this, she explains all these things, the greatness of their spiritual master. And after saying this, Lord Ram inquires about her, how her tapasya is going. So she says that my mind is now longing to again go back and meet my spiritual master. And I have, they told me to welcome you. So I have welcomed all of you. So since you are asking, I would like to go back and meet my spiritual master. So immediately Lord Ram says that you can attain whichever position you want, whichever position you desire. So immediately she collects all the dried sticks and keeps a pyre and sits on that and creates a fire within her body, and in front of Lord Ram she burns her body and ascends to attain the lotus feet of her spiritual master. So we see that this is the greatness of service to the spiritual master. Even though she was from a very low caste, she had no right to perform any sorts of yajnas, but she could see the Lord while she was departing from this world, and she could obtain the favor of the Lord because she served her spiritual master in such a perfect consciousness. So that's why we can see that places where the spiritual master stays is also a sacred place. That's why wherever Srila Prabhupada stayed, we preserved his rooms, because that has become a holy place. And one should always glorify the greatness of one's spiritual master and should have always a desire to attain the lotus feet of the spiritual master. So this is how we can see how we will be able to deal with the false pride in our heart. As beginning of the lecture we saw, the non-devotee will have this kind of faith in their heart that they are the doers, they are independent control of all activities, and because of that they get attached, and sense gratification destroys them. Whereas the devotee has a firm faith that Krishna is the controller, and whatever he does, he just gives all credit to his spiritual master and Krishna. And this is the way one can remain safe from false pride. Thank you very much.